League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
Then most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Well, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Yo, welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad to have you with us as always. Such fun we are about to have. First off, I want to thank our new sponsor. And how cool is this? Golf Package Pros. I mean, this is really a big deal to us who love traveling to play golf. If you are looking to book a golf package almost anywhere in the West, so that'll include Scottsdale, St. George, Mesquite, Laughlin, most importantly, the big Las Vegas. Even if you already have lodging set, you can check out the great friendly concierge service of the family-owned Golf Package Pros. They have more than 25 years of experience. They help golfers book trips to some of the best golf destinations in America. So good news, you can start planning your next golf getaway. Just go to golfpackagepros.com, or you can follow at Golf Package Pros on Twitter and Instagram. As always, you can find us here at Talking Golf Getaways on the Golf News Net platform, including the iHeartRadio channel, or anywhere you auditorily consume your podcasts. I'm Mitch Lawrence. Happy to be leading this gang of merry pranksters. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence on Twitter and at Mitch underscore Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E 1 on Instagram. Darren Bunch out there holding down the fort in Bakersfield, California at the moment, because he is really busy. You can find him at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. Our esteemed producer, Chris McEwen, at Chris McEwen, M-C-E-W-E-N, on Twitter and Instagram. And he is hopefully having some nice weather in Chicago. It's been kind of brutal over there. You can always reach out to us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter and Instagram. And first of all, welcome, boys. This is always a treat for me to get to talk to you two.
We have so many socials. It takes a half hour for us to just run through all the socials, and we didn't even talk about all the different other socials from Golf Package Pros, you know, like Golf Scottsdale, Arizona, and all that stuff. So, good Lord. The other question I have, Mitch, and yes, welcome to all of us. Will we ever be those guys who do this, like, with pictures? So people can see our faces. I don't want to do that, but I just always wondered if I
absolutely think we should do that. Yeah. Because being around you two and other people that we travel with and are friends with, half the fun is just watching faces, man.
Right. And then you guys know how I love the video medium.
Yes.
Yes, true. Yeah.
The visual medium. Everyone loves my backdrop, too. I always get great comments on my backdrop.
It's all about you, isn't it?
Put a lot of work into this little room I live in.
You have a face for the visual medium, and I do not. I have a face for radio, as they used to say.
Well, Darren's goatee actually is what keeps us off the video medium.
It's illegal in like 32 states.
Well, he'd be dragged out pretty quickly. But I'm willing to try it. I think it would be great. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. And it's easy enough to do now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. That's a good question, Darren. So thanks for bringing that up. For this episode at least, let people just try to imagine the faces we're making at each other as we continue along this path. We're going to get to our guest, Joe Sass, another one of our great friends, and talk about a recent trip that he and Darren were on in Tucson, Arizona. But before we do, and I think this is really cool. I was thinking about this, Darren and Chris. Darren and I want to catch up on your trip recently to grass clippings in Arizona. And what I love about this particular instance, we do tend to travel alone. Obviously, we often go places together. But what I think is great is that I have experienced grass clippings recently in the afternoon dusk time. Mm-hmm. Darren has been there at night, and you have been there independently of each other. And I think it's great to kind of get input on what each of us, we've heard about my trip. We've heard about Darren's trip. I'm really interested to find out. And I can't imagine you not loving it. There's no part of me that's going to go, wow, I didn't expect that. But Darren and I and the rest of the listeners really want to hear something about your experience at grass clipping.
Yeah. So it was part of a 54 hole day for me. I had played 36 before that. It was because the longest day of the year. I think we talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And so, so I showed up after I played my first two 18s, went back to my parents' house and showered up and ate some food or whatever, just a little bit, because I was saving myself for the taco truck, which delivered. Those tacos were fantastic. But I showed up, I'll just give you a vibe of the place. I showed up in a tank top and board shorts and a bucket hat.
Hello.
And they welcomed me with open arms. That's just kind of the vibe of the place. It's just so chill. It's perfect for, I mean, it's like made for us for mm-hmm. the way that we approach golf, I think, like where we just want to have fun while we still compete with our friends or family or whatever and kind of hang out. And the carts have lights, like mm-hmm. tail lights and headlights because you drive around at night, which was different and cool. And it's just a blast of a par three course. Like, it's just so much fun. It's so much fun. It was my family. So it was my dad and my brothers and my uncle in a fivesome, because they didn't really care about that either. When we left, there was probably there were so many people on the first tee. And there had to have been 12 people going out at once.
What time did you leave? What time was that?
We were leaving. We teed off at 7:30, probably left at, let's call it 9:30, 10 o'clock, maybe something like that.
And there were 12 people on the first tee.
Yeah. I think they were the last tee time.
Right.
So if you can get out there last, I guess it's just like, whatever, go ahead.
I actually think at this time of year, it's later than that.
Is it?
Because we teed off at 9 the night that Cole and I played.
Yeah.
And they told us that there was still another hour's worth of players they allow to go out and play just 9 holes after.
Okay.
That.
Yeah. Maybe that's
so. Yeah. You can play till, because we finished after midnight the night we played.
Oh, okay.
It's insane.
Yeah. It's place is awesome. Place is going to, it's just when it's all said and done, that place is just going to make $1 billion. It's going to be the most popular thing in the Arizona area. I don't know how I feel bad for anyone that would go there and not just absolutely love it, because you're missing it, man.
Well, I think what I'm hoping is, and I think all of us are, because you hit it on the head, it's what we want. And I don't think we're alone. We are not alone in this. I keep seeing stuff. I was thrilled to see Bradley Klein wrote a great thing about courses and how to deal with them in the future. And people are moving in this direction all over the place. So I'm hoping that these kind of places spring up. I mean, obviously, there are some already. But I can't see any major golfing kind of area that wouldn't have a really great late night par three lit place for people to go play. I just can't see it not working.
Yeah. And it's so well thought out too. Like I think we talked about before, the lighting Brian talked about too, when he was on the show, the lighting is so well thought out. There's no shadows when you're on a tee box.
No shadows.
It's wild. Yeah. It's one of the first things we all noticed, like, holy cow, look at this. I can go anywhere and there's no shadow on that tee box.
Well, most people don't think about this stuff. So we go someplace that's lit. And we go, okay, they have lights. And then when we heard Brian talk about what went into it and the detail, you know, of lighting it, the ball from underneath so you can – I mean, all that kind of stuff, it really opened my eyes to what they put into it.
Yeah, super cool.
I'm working on a video right now that we're going to put up on Golf Package Pros and Golf Scottsdale, Arizona, if I haven't mentioned that enough. But it's all about my experience out there from tacos before dark to playing at night. And I kind of wandered around while I was waiting and shot other people hitting, you know, golf shots across the property. And just the ability, you don't realize until you're there and you see it, that you can track the golf ball all the way to the hole, which is just something that other places I've played night golf, you just can't. You lose it. Yep. Even like the Nest at Cabot, which is a super cool experience, you know, you lose the golf ball for a minute and then it lands and you go up there and you find it. This one, you see it. And because so many of the tee boxes are elevated in comparison to the greens, you know, you're watching the ball land then roll out and all the stuff that we love about hitting approach shots in golf. You get to follow it the whole way. You feel like you're in your own shot tracker, basically.
I got some great shots of my brothers hitting and my uncle hitting some balls. You can see the ball in flight.
Yeah.
In those pictures. That's how well lit.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Are. Like,
oh, it's top sick. Tracer without the top tracer.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. That's right.
Perfect. That's perfect. All right, let's. Well, I'm glad, obviously, that you had a great time, Chris. Didn't expect anything different. Again, Scottsdale, Arizona, good place for you to go. Darren, you just got back from, you know, what do we have to say about Tobacco Road that hasn't been said 1,000 times already?
I just got back from visiting you, Mitch.
I know, but before I saw you, you were at Tobacco Road, you know. I saw you at Sanford. We had dinner with the great Mark Stewart, which is always a treat. And I'm going to mention my friend Brian Keller, who made the effort to drive from Richmond, Virginia, to have dinner with us in Sanford before we all went over to Tot Hill. Tobacco Road, from what you said and the stuff I saw you put up on social, just condition-wise right now is that, how many years have we been going? And you said this is probably the best you've ever seen it.
Yeah, I mentioned it, and again, I throw the disclaimer out there. Obviously, I get paid to get people turned on to Tobacco Road these days, but that doesn't mean that they pay me to make stuff up. And I've been playing for 20 years out there, and it was as good this last week as I can ever remember. The greens are that perfect kind of middle ground of they grab on your approaches just like you want. You can spin the ball, you can check the ball, but they don't leave a ball mark in most cases. So they were the perfect mix of firm and receptive. The fairways lose some color this time of year, obviously, because it's getting hot. But also the Bermuda flourishes in the heat. So I thought the fairways were just absolutely fantastic. We had very few, you know, bad lies. They're just doing it right out there. The agronomy team, Bud Hare, who's the new superintendent out there, has just done a fantastic job. And I can't recommend it highly enough. And I thought it might be more beat up because it's been a busy, busy spring. And then they just did incredible business during U.S. Open week. And it wasn't, you know, yeah, obviously you got divots and those things that happen with golf courses. But I was blown away at how good it was and how much better it was this time this year than it was a year ago when they'd had some issues. So it's everybody needs to get out there. It's only going to get better as it keeps going. And, you know, prime season is right around the corner for Tobacco Road. The weather's going to be fantastic in September and October. So people should get there. And on the flip side of that, Tot Hill Farm is in amazing shape. The renovation, you mentioned off camera, I was going to say, but I guess off mic, 1,500 trees they got rid of at Tot Hill Farm to open that up. The agronomy is so much better. The conditions are so much better. The design is so much better and a little bit friendlier. And so, I mean, if you love Mike Strantz, there's nothing better than going and playing those two places, for a few days.
Well, what blew me away, because both of us had been at Tot Hill before, and even though it had, you know, you knew Mike Strantz did it, it was so wild. The place was wild.
Yeah.
And there was a lot to take away from the experience of just actually enjoying the golf course. And then Pat Barber took over ownership December 22. And the flipped out thing is they accomplished a mind-blowing renovation in 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And that, when you look at just the scale of the work, like you said, 1,500 trees, opened up all kinds of views and playing corridors, and it's still wild Mike Strands. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But boy, it's a great, great experience. If you're a Strands fan, if you're going to be anywhere near Pinehurst, certainly Tobacco Road, but it's, you know, 50 minutes from Pinehurst and well worth the trip. Shout out to our friend Robbie Wooten out there at Todd Hill and all the staff. Everybody there was great. They have an unbelievable attitude. And it's just really an incredible, it's a really memorable round of golf. And that, to me, is the best thing you can say.
And just the overall experience there is so improved with them kind of renovating the buildings that are on property. I mean, for years, they just ran out of like a temporary little
golf shop. Yeah, they were in a trailer.
And now they're you know, they utilize the historic buildings there on the property. And it's just, it's cool. You get there and you just feel like, okay, I'm at home here. Let's go play some Mike Strands golf, and it doesn't disappoint. There's a lot of fun golf holes out there, including the 12th hole, which Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, drink.
And I will drink.
You know, he and I spent a lot of time out there that afternoon shooting photography and whatnot, and that 12th hole is just a thing of beauty at the center of the property.
So. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, let us move on.
We have to say one other thing, though, about Chris's trip, just to circle back, because okay. I have heard, I have not seen the video, but Chris, in a minute here, tell us about this house you stayed at in Flagstaff, because it sounds like it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah. The only reason we played in Flagstaff was because of this house. I happened to come across it and I was like, well, we're going to find us a golf course in Flagstaff. And just unrelated to that, we found probably the best host at a golf course we've ever had at Continental Country Club. They were extraordinary. Just like the greatest people ever. They fully embraced us. There were 32 of us playing in this 2-day tournament. But anyways, yeah, the house that we had, I think it sleeps up to 26, but we only had 20. But the backyard included a putting green, probably 3 or 4 fire pits, a climbing wall, axe throwing. it had a fishing pond.
Call me crazy. If I'm with 20 guys who are out there at a fire pit drinking and they got axe throwing, I don't know.
We couldn't decide which was the dumber thing to have, axe throwing or a climbing wall.
Yeah, both.
I mean, but we made it through. Nobody, you know, lost any fingers or fell from heights or anything like that. So that was good. So that was the outdoor space. It had like 4 decks, you know, just decks on decks on decks. It was crazy. And then inside there was this bar that had, I think there were 4 televisions, in the bar. There was a pool table. There's a, ping pong table. There was a golf simulator, and there were like real arcade video games to play. Like, you know, the old school, like go to an arcade and play them. Right. And there was a movie theater. There was a theater in there. And then, yeah, it slept 20 of us without being on top of each other. It was like just huge. There's garage doors that open all over the place. You know, half the house, I never even saw. Like it, I didn't go, I had no reason to go over there. Had a gym. Some of the guys hit the gym in the morning. Like,
good
just
heavens.
It was an absolutely incredible. And it was out in the middle, you know, it's in Flagstaff, like kind of out in the country. So we were backed up to just mountains and trees, you know, just like nature.
Did you find this separately? This wasn't part of the golf experience, or was it?
No, this is where we stayed in between rounds. We stayed there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean to say you found it. Is it an Airbnb or a Vrbo?
Yeah, it's an Airbnb, not affiliated with the course.
Got it. That's what I meant. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, you know, and it was funny because we had discussed, and this is our 7th year doing this tournament, we discussed playing more holes. You know, let's play more golf. Let's play 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. And then we saw the house and we're like, no one's going to want to play golf. We're going to go back to the house. So, yeah, it was great. It was fantastic. It's so good that, you know, we have bounced around year to year, that we might make that like the default between the course and the house.
It sounds like it should be.
Yeah. It was awesome.
How cool.
I might need to be part of that group now.
I'll keep an eye out on my Instagram. I'll post a permanent, I had it on my story, but I'll post a permanent video. There's also, just real quick, I know I took more than a minute. So we tied last year. You know, we play a Ryder Cup style tournament. We tied last year. And a lot of the guys didn't understand that when the Ryder Cup ties, the team with the trophy keeps the trophy.
Right.
Well, you know, being the Americans that they are, they hate ties. So this year we implemented a putt off on the putting green. And yet again, we tied again this year. And so we had a 32-man putt off and we got the winning putt on video. So keep an eye out for that because that was quite a thing.
How great. All right. But yeah. I'm throwing in with Darren. I want to be part of this next year.
I will send you the invite.
Okay. All right. Let's get to our guest because the three of us could just ramble for another 2 hours and we'd never get to our guest, who's also a great friend, who's been on
before. And a great rambler,
but at least we get him in the mix now. You know, Chris has been talking about trips and friends and family, and Joe Sass is one of those guys who's also been involved in the same thing. Before this, he did spend some of his time getting all of us to our golf getaways as a traffic controller, an air traffic controller in Dallas. So if you have flown through Dallas on any golf trip, you want to get in touch with Joe somehow, and you can, you know, thank him personally for getting there safely and back.
But then he
decided he'd had enough of that. And so now he's just, you know, pretty much traveling the world, playing golf, organizing trips and doing stuff like that. And I hate him personally. I mean, I love him, but I hate him because he is really out there now taking some great golf trips. He's come with us. And actually, I realized as I was just getting ready for this podcast, Darren and Chris, this is a reunion of our Sand Valley trip.
Sure is.
So once again, we get to spend some time with all four of us together. We had a blast in Sand Valley.
But which I had completely forgotten.
There you
I
go.
Had completely forgotten that both Chris and Joe were on the Sand Valley trip.
You know what? And as I was driving home, racing home to get to the podcast, it just all of a sudden popped into my 74-year-old brain. And I went, holy shit, that's right. This is a reunion. So kind of an extra little bit of excitement for us. He's taken, I don't know, trips of a lifetime. I guess that's the only way you can put it. And he's taken full advantage with me and Darren, with our great friend, Eric Hart, who was just on a recent podcast, great podcast with Eric. So it's a pleasure to welcome our friend, Joe Sass. Joey.
Hello. Hello, cool guys. And Darren, how you guys doing?
Immediately, in the ground rules of the podcast.
I'm just sitting here in Flagstaff in some big house by myself.
Man, you're quick. You are quick. I'd heard that about you, but you're quick.
Yeah, it's fun. Good to hear from you guys again. Yeah, just trying to stay cool like all of us are, right, this time of the year.
Yeah.
Not so weather, right? But
yeah. You had to deal with a whole lot of that in your prior life.
Yeah, yeah. I don't miss it. It was fun, but I don't miss it. But it's a new part. It's all
well,
good.
this is a whole new chapter. And you might have heard Chris and Darren and I talking about these trips in different places. And it's, you know, it's always been great to me. I have never, like you guys, organized and I've been part of, but I've never organized and been responsible for. Although, Darren, we did Sweetens Cove, which was, you know, obviously fantastic. But this is you two, you and Chris, and Darren has too, but organizing these trips and getting to spend time with everybody and putting them together, watching them come to fruition, and then enjoying the fruits of your labor is, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing. Tell us a little bit about this annual group. You've been traveling together. How long have you been doing it? We know some of the destinations you've been to. Talk to us about that.
Well, this was year 32 years, if you can believe that. Well, that's how
crazy.
Yeah, that's how old we're getting. But it was it's interesting because every year I start off with in the 40s, and then just from age attrition, you know, like someone, oh, I had shoulder surgery, or somebody died, unfortunately, or something. We always lose a bunch at the end. We lost like 12 this year. So we were down to 32 when we went at our max. But yeah, we've been to Phoenix was our main thing for many years. And we've done Mesquite. We've done Pinehurst. We've done Austin near Horseshoe Bay. We did that last year, in fact. But as you guys know, the whole thing, when you have 30 guys to 40 guys and you're gone for a 5-6 day trip, it's all about that weather. So that's why Arizona has been one of our staples, because we have never had a day of rain in any of the years we've gone to Phoenix and now Tucson this past year. So.
Right. You haven't had rain. You've had some extreme temperature.
Well, yeah, we've had 100 degrees here and there. But we didn't lose a day, you know, like I know a lot of guys going out to Myrtle for a trip and they lose 2-3 days, you know, and sure. You just can't do that with this big of a group. And then, of course, when you have 30, 40 people, you have 10 to 15 that will say, I'll play any course, doesn't matter. Then you have another 10, they're a little concerned. Then you have 15 or so that will not play $200, $300 courses.
Right.
So, So that's the main thing I have to watch for, too. I have to make it both economical, weather fine, and this, you know, to make everybody happy. You know,
so was that one of the reasons, because you did spend a lot of time in Scottsdale, Phoenix. Was that one of the reasons, a big reason for going to Tucson?
Yeah, that's probably the main reason. We've never tried Tucson before. We said, let's try it for one time. It's hard to justify now, as you guys know, with how the prices have gone up due to, you know, everything. Darren and I were talking about prices behind the scenes, but it's hard to justify when we'd go out to Phoenix 5-6 years ago and start off at, say, like Silverado on Monday as a warm-up course for $39, and now they want $115 for it or something, you know. And as much as I love that, our putty, what's the little par 3 course? I'm drawing a blank on Desert Mountain.
Mountain Shadows.
Mountain Shadows, yeah. I mean, I love that, but they will not go under $100. You know, I even told the guy.
That's not a cheap experience. No,
I I'm like, I have 40 guys. We want to play Sunday night. We come in, give it to me for 60. And they're like, no, they don't care, you know. So
I remember trying to negotiate with a course in Phoenix. You know, same thing. I'm bringing 32 people, you know, and it was July. Like, and in the past, nobody wants to golf in Phoenix in July. It's a billion degrees. It's like golfing on the sun. And the guy was straight up with me. He's like, we'll fill the tee times.
Yeah.
We'll fill them.
Yeah.
I was like, man. And this was, you know, post COVID, when after the boom, right? Like, everyone's just playing golf now all the time.
Yeah. Yep. We've never paid more than in the 80s for the boulders. I always told the guy, you know, give me in the 80s. They'd say 85, 89 or something, but I can't get it now for under 200, you know? So you have to change plans and go from there.
So how did that, so talk a little bit about then you pivoted to Tucson. Right. Obviously we're big fans of Scottsdale and you've been going there for years. And so, you know, we don't want to denigrate Scottsdale, but the prices for what you're trying to do, just don't work for this size of a group. Tucson doesn't seem to have caught up to that price rise just yet. It felt like from what you were able to get talking to different places this year.
Right. Yeah. And I think we discussed that even, Darren, how Tucson seems like it's stuck pre-COVID almost now, which was, you know, thankful. First of all, we stayed at a casino. So, most of the guys love that. and we got that for $125 a night after taxes and everything. So you put two guys in there for $60 a night, they're thrilled. And then there were so many things to do in the casino. And, you know, and Darren will expound on this. It was beautiful. It was smoke-free. The people were fantastic to us. They treated us great. The restaurants were great. And the coolest thing we did, which everybody really enjoyed, they threw a Texas Hold'em party just for our group. So we had three tables in the poker lounge just for 24 of us.
Oh, man.
And, you know, we didn't play with anybody else, just us. So, you know, it was our guys that we played, and they got down to the final table and they paid the top five. You know, they charged us, I think, $50 and 40 of it went to the pot. So, I mean, it was fantastic. And they paid the top five, and everybody had a good time like that, you know, just playing with against us. None of the locals or anything, you know. So.
How cool.
Yeah, Casino del Sol is just, you know, when we start talking about this trip and Joe said he wanted to go to Tucson, Brian Orr, again, golf photographer extraordinaire. He and I had gone when there's a golf course at this casino called Suelo. I think it's got Nota Begay's name attached to it. Fantastic golf course, which we should talk about as well. But Brian and I were down there to shoot photography, and we stayed at the casino, and I was just super impressed. Obviously, I've stayed at casino properties across the country, lived and worked in Las Vegas, so I have a pretty good knowledge of this kind of thing. But just everything about this casino property was just spot on. Plus the pool, the hot tub, everything outside is done really well. So it is the perfect home base, so much so, Joe, that you're strongly considering just making it the home base again next year for this trip, right?
Yeah, we're very strongly. I bet it's been about 3 out of every 4 guys I talked to said, "Oh yeah, I'd love to go back there again." So that's hard to do. You know, that's hard to get that consensus with a group like that. You know?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
I've been to Tucson before, but it's been years. I've never played golf there, although I would love to, obviously. Do you get a sense that, as you said, they're just lagging a little bit behind? Or do you get a feeling that this is kind of just the way it's going to be because of the popularity of Phoenix and Scottsdale? In other words, are they a year or two behind the prices that Phoenix has?
I don't know if they're behind or if they're just counter programming. It could be a bit of both.
Right.
You know, I mean, certainly Casino del Sol doesn't need to, they have a different business model than a normal golf course. We'll talk about the other courses we played, but the casino can get away with cheaper rooms, and Suelo had just been punched. The greens had, we didn't even know if we were going to get to play it. It turns out we did. And the punching really didn't matter to us as a group. The greens were a little bit sandy, but we got to play an extraordinary, $40 or something silly like that.
45, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Even though their regular rate during that week, during a non-punch week, I think is up, you know, $100-ish.
No, it was only 65 actually.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. You know, because it feels like a golf course that should be,
definitely.
A lot more. It's sublime. I absolutely love it out there. Went out one extra afternoon and just played at sunset and just, you know, had a blast. It's a really, really fun golf course. Probably my favorite golf course in all of Tucson to play.
I would agree with that. Suelo was the first place for our trip 7 years ago.
Really? Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. We loved it. We absolutely loved it. Yeah.
I thought the course was fantastic. I really enjoyed the course. I really did.
Yeah, it's an absolute blast. So I think that's probably, it's probably a bit of both to answer your question, Mitch, in terms of, you know, they don't have the popularity because they don't have everything that Phoenix Scottsdale has.
Yeah.
Too, yep. You know, people, they don't have the draw of the city and everything else as much in Tucson as Phoenix Scottsdale has. So, right. You know, that's probably part of it as well.
Well, yeah, I think there's more like golf in Scottsdale and Phoenix is a lot of times an add on to something else. Go right. See a baseball game or a football game. And you're like, hey, let's just play around it wherever. And a lot of people will do that. And I think Tucson, it's not close. You gotta get in a car and go or fly in or whatever. It's kind of, you know, we might be kind of putting a spotlight on it, but it's kind of like, you know, that band that is really great that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like Tucson golf, you know, it's like right. down but there, but away.
You know, what we're talking about here are groups. It's, you know, it's one thing you do go as a couple or as a, you're just on business or whatever, that's great. But when you've got groups and you can take 30 or 40 people and have these kinds of experiences, I don't know. I know there's great places in Scottsdale, but to me, Tucson sounds – I loved it when I was there without playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tucson just had a great feel. U of A is there. That was, you know, it's just – to me, it had a great vibe. And as you know, I'm such a cowboy.
So right. Yeah. You and me both, Mitch. Yeah. Big cowboy types.
Yeah. I wore a pair of boots when I was there. I don't remember. But.
The only thing people complained about was the infrastructure. You only have one freeway going like north and south. So that was sort of, it took us 45 minutes for one, 40 for the other one. We're in Scottsdale, there's courses everywhere. We'd be there in 10 minutes, So we're a little spoiled for that. But I almost get the feeling like it's like Phoenix's little brother or something. They know they're not big enough to demand that, but they can get away with that. So it was really enjoyable. I was really impressed with it overall.
And yet for your group, if we did it at a different time when they hadn't been punching greens, you would have added, like, if when you do this again next year, if you schedule it slightly different, you'll play Sewelo at least twice.
Sure.
So then you'll have two rounds where people don't have to go anywhere and can play 36 each day if they wanted to. And I think that will then kind of offset the idea that it takes 45 minutes to get to Ventana Canyon or 25 minutes to get to Star Pass, or what, Star Pass is actually a little bit closer. So, I just think there's so much there. It's incredibly flexible golf destination in terms of what you're looking for. I two other things I want to say about Casino del Sol that we found fantastic. The steakhouse is unbelievable. Brian and I had eaten there long ago and it completely lived up to it. Just small touches, little things that they do that I hadn't seen at other restaurants. Server came out. I ordered a steak. The server came out with a box of steak knives and a wooden box of steak knives and opened it up and said, choose your weapon.
And smoke came out. Remember, smoke came out of it.
Yeah, there was smoke coming out of the box. It was fantastic. And the food was
production out of actually choosing your steak knife.
Exactly. And the food was fantastic. The server we had, I don't recall her name. She was unbelievably experienced at food and wine. And it was just, we had an absolute great time in the steakhouse. We also, they have a small sports book because gambling is everywhere now. Sports gambling is everywhere. And so it was during the, there were Dallas teams in both the playoffs, right? Yeah, in the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs. Yeah. And so our guys went in there, grab a drink. They could gamble. We could watch games, after we had dinner each night. It was just those kinds of things, these different gathering spots, in addition to the fact that it has a fantastic poker room and all the other gambling that everybody did throughout. Boy, I'll tell you what, these guys, I am not one of these people. I lost my ass in the poker room. But it seemed like everybody else on the trip hit big giant jackpots at slot machines and stuff like that. So this is a kind of group that you need to travel with, because the luck rubs off on everybody except me, apparently.
Yeah, I got two quick stories. There's one guy who doesn't gamble at all. He put $20 in a video poker machine and he only wanted to bet a quarter. And I told him, no, you have to bet at least 50, a dollar each thing. And he made it 50 cents, hit the thing, got a bad, hand, the first hand. Second hand, he hits a royal flush for $2,000.
Wow.
So he doesn't even know what to do. The lights flash and says, call a tenant. He's going, what's an attendant? What do I have to do? And I'm like, oh. So, he didn't. He hates to gamble, so he didn't gamble. He paid for his whole trip right there, so he was done.
Paid for.
Yeah, but the other cool thing was and this is all what it's all about too. I got to take my stepson for the first time, who's 19, a freshman at SMU, and it was so cool taking him. Because I used to go with my dad. My dad can't go anymore; he's in his high 80s. So that was awesome. But Darren and I, and him, and a couple other guys, we went to the buffet one day. And I'm not a buffet guy, but this buffet was impressive, right, Darren? It was impressive. Mm-hmm. And my son, we had a scale in our room. So he's like, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. I know how much he eats. So he weighed himself at 171 and a half. We went down. He had, Darren, 30 plates maybe or so? I felt so bad for the poor lady. I had to keep bussing our table from him. We went back upstairs and he was 177 and a quarter.
No, God.
True story. I took a picture and I was laughing so hard. Go, how do you put on almost 6 pounds at a buffet, kid?
Who
so,
is he, Joey Chestnut?
He didn't stop eating at all, so it was funny as heck, though.
He's skinny as a rail, though, so he probably lost it all the next day.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
That's all right, Darren, you mentioned, this sounds great, by the way, really, really great. Talk about the other places you guys did play.
Well,
I know the other golf courses were, you know, part of the whole deal.
Let's start with Ventana Canyon, Club and Lodge. That's the official name. It's got 36 Tom Fazio holes. Plus, it's got lodging on property, the Club and Lodge part of that. And Joe and I took a tour with the director of sales there. Kind of went through all these. They're kind of older style suites, you know, very Arizona architecture. And so that's a whole component that you could stay in if you wanted to. Like, I don't know that we're ever going to make that leap because we like the casino so much. But if you were looking for a non-casino experience, that's really Ventana Canyon would be a great way to do it. It's got that kind of feel like a member vibe about everything. If you stay there on property, there's also a Lowe's Ventana Canyon, hotel right there, near the golf course. If you wanted a resort experience, and then the golf courses, you know, are just pure, you know, Fazio fun. There's two of them. We played kind of a Frankenstein version of the two, because they were doing some work on each golf course and, getting ready to do some punching. They were doing some irrigation work. So we kind of played this kind of weird wraparound. Yeah. And got, but what was cool about it was we got samples of each golf course that way. You kind of got a feel for it, but, when it's back up and running, it's going to take them, I think, about a year to get everything all set. So if you went this time next year, you know, there's 36 holes there and lodging, and you could do your entire Tucson trip just there if you wanted to, and really have a good time for 2 or 3 days. They will cater to basically whatever your group wants. They'll do dinners for you. They'll do, special game nights. They have some big meeting rooms. So I was really impressed by just the level of service and everything that is coming for that property. If you wanted to do something from a group standpoint, would you agree, Joe?
Yeah. We even asked him, remember we asked him, cause he showed us a big room. He said, I'll set you guys up for 30 people for dinner that night and give you a menu and everything. And I think we said, how about like a late night par three? He goes, oh, yeah, we'll set the greens up for a par three contest. We'll put some tee boxes up for you, whatever you want to do. So they're very accommodating, you know, whatever we wanted to think about doing.
Yeah, and because it's member run and it's you know, it's got this lodge component, they have way more flexibility than a normal, you know, run golf operation, public golf operation does. So they can do a lot more and really cater to your group a lot more. And so, I highly recommend it. It's just of the two things that we're doing with our group specifically, people tend to lean toward the casino more than they do that kind of, getaway experience, which is what that would be.
What do you mean by member run? Is Ventana
semi-private? Yeah,
it's semi-private. So it's got a full membership and it's got a members clubhouse, and all of that. And then it has a resort golf shop that's up near the Lowe's, where people come in who aren't playing through the membership in some way, and they check in up there and play, you know, kind of a different, slightly different routing. At least they were during what we were doing. So,
okay.
But you know, it's mostly a member golf course. They have a robust membership.
All right. Well, that's kind of a cool alternative.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's what you're looking for. That sounds like a great alternative.
And check this, Mitch, for Darren says a Frankenstein routing. We started on 10 and 11 of the mountain course. Then Marshall's had to get us, take us like a mile away to 1 through 7 of the canyon course. And then we had to find our way somewhere back to the number 1 of the mountain course and play that night. So we were just driving for miles,
Yeah, but you get to see the scenery. And
well, like, we did, yeah.
But like Darren said, what a great way to experience both golf courses at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds pretty cool to me. I don't know.
Yeah, of definitely. Course,
knowing the cowboy I am, I would have been on horseback. So
you absolutely with your clubs,
like Mike Stranz and Forrest Fessler, I would have been out there on a horse.
Beautiful.
That's just me. What about the other courses, Darren? You mentioned Star Pass.
Yeah, the club at Star Pass, which is not too far, probably the closest of the courses to Casino del Sol where we stayed. 27 holes, Arnold Palmer Golf Course. It's run by my friends at Troon, since I am untechnically a Troon employee. Also has a JW Marriott right near. And it's just fun, you know? Yeah. It's good 9-hole golf courses. You play different routings of it. We played it twice. So we saw all 27 holes over the course of 2 days, and it's just desert golf, you know.
Those are 27 Mr. Arnie holes.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I believe Arnold Palmer did all 27 on it, and it's up on the side of a mountain, and you know you get views, you get the terrain, you get all the stuff you want from desert golf, and it's a yeah, it's a good place to play golf. And like we said, it's the proximity. You know, you could do Casino del Sol and Sahuelo and Club at Star Pass and have a good trip just by putting those two things together and not have to do a lot of driving. So,
well, here's the coolest thing about that. And we didn't go over to the price, but Ventana Canyon, their rack rate is $299. He gave it to me for $125 for my group.
Wow.
So that was fantastic. So the guys were happy.
We assume that's because of the Frankenstein routing, you know, I think they're also catering to groups and they want groups to come in and be able to see what they're doing and right. hopefully land them.
He wanted to show us the lodging and hopefully for that. And then, it's Star Pass Friday at noon tea times. $65 with a $20 voucher for the kitchen.
Holy cow. Yeah.
So we all went there early and had lunch on them, you know, burgers and fries and chicken breast and that for less than 20. And it was $45 to play the course.
Wow.
On a Friday. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is such great stuff. I love hearing this.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Well, there's so many people that just think of it and we know this. Because they're not, hopefully that's what we're doing by talking about it here. They think that all golf is expensive and all golf, I mean, this is, I know it's the summer, but it's great stuff. These are great, great kind of deals. And Darren, I'm pretty sure you're talking about Frankenstein. If you showed them the mixed bag of stupid clubs you have, they would have given you another 25 off the rate.
Hey, I was just telling Joe I shot 81 at Tobacco Road with that mixed crazy bag of clubs on Friday morning, and I must have had something like 42 putts.
There you go.
So it was.
So we know what you have to change about the set.
Obviously, we need to change the guy who's swinging the putter. No,
I've seen it. Let's move on to unless there's something else you want to mention. Omni Tucson National.
Yeah, Omni Tucson National, 36 holes. So 218s out there. They're very different golf courses. One is kind of down in the low flatland, and the other one goes up on the side of a mountain. Mitch, I don't know much about Robert Van Hagy and Bruce Devlin.
Well, Bruce Devlin, you know about.
Yeah, how do I? Pro.
Bruce Devlin was a player.
He was on the tour for a year.
Tom Lehman. Tom Lehman. Bruce Devlin was on tour for a long time.
Okay. All right.
I mean, well, great player. So, you know, he's one of those guys that a lot of people don't know that he was also an architect.
Yeah.
You know, they'll look at Tom Lehman and go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I remember his swing. I remember, excuse me. He also had this other career like Tom Weisskopf. And like, I mean, there's tons of guys like that.
Yeah.
So Bruce Devlin's one of those guys.
So Van Hagy and Devlin did one of the courses. Lehman did the other course. There's also lodging on that property because I believe it probably has a membership as well, if I'm not mistaken, but we didn't dive into that. I'll say one thing about Omni Tucson. The golf courses were solid. The kind of hang spot little restaurant and bar was fantastic. Like we spent a lot of time after we were there two different days. And, the group spent a lot of time hanging out on the patio, inside the little bar. It has a fantastic menu. So, I mean, again, another full golf experience. And that's, I think, what we liked about everything in this itinerary was each place was a full experience and an impressive experience from start to finish, customer service, golf, the whole thing.
And once again, $75 both times we played it on Monday and Thursday, $75.
Yep. Unbelievable.
You guys are unbelievable. And I know most of the credit goes to SAS. Some yes. of it will go to Darren, but most of it goes to SAS. It's great that you look out for everything, that you put together trips like this that aren't break the bank kind of things. And you get to have the experiences that you had. It sounds like an unbelievable trip. For real.
Yeah, it really was.
The credit goes to Joe. The only thing I inputted into this thing was let's stay at Casino del Sol. From there on, Joe's the one who makes all these phone calls and talks to people and does this stuff. And like, I wouldn't have the patience for any of that. I would be like, oh, my guys, what, $120? Okay, yeah, my guys are going to pay it or they're not going to come. Yeah. You know?
All right, so we know just to follow Joe. That's pretty much the end
result. Absolutely.
Would you want to know what Tucson National is famous for now, though? You know what Tucson National is the most famous for now?
No.
Darren has been on this trip 4 or 5 times.
Oh,
he never won a skin or close to the pin. He won 2 close to the pins and a skin on that 18 on Thursday.
Did you buy a lottery ticket that day, Darren?
That's right. I should have.
Yeah.
No,
It was how I salvaged some of the $900 I lost in the poker room that week.
Well, you wanted a full experience and you got it.
Yeah, that is true. One thing we didn't put on here, and I think because we're going to move on to some other stuff, I know, but I teased this before. I don't remember if I teased it on the podcast or if I just teased it to you guys. But Joe has possibly the greatest golf trip story that has ever happened on any golf trip I've ever been on with a friend of ours named Chris Rice, who goes on this trip every year. And he probably needs to tell that on this podcast because it is fantastic.
Okay. You're under a lot of pressure now, Sess.
Well, I didn't know if we want to get into this because it's a pretty long story. I'll try to do it as quick as we can. You can throw some stuff in, but we're playing Vantana Canyon. Like I said, we're driving all over the place and off and over bumps and roads and everything. So we get back and one of the guys says,
and keep in mind, we have among this group, we probably have 6 or 7 different cars, different vehicles. Oh, like yeah, I have drove my own vehicle and a bunch of the guys who flew in from Texas rented cars. And then some of the people drove up from Texas. Drove, they had their own vehicle. Yeah. So we had a bunch of vehicles.
So our guy, Chris pulls up and says, I've lost the rental car keys somewhere. And we're like, what do you mean? Because he keeps it in the cart. He says with his wallet and his GPS and all that, and the keys are not there. So we're frantically looking. Well, what are you going to do? You know, there's no way that he knows where they fell out or anything. So he has to get an Uber to the nearest Enterprise rental car. We all take off and get out of there. We don't have any mercy for him, you know.
So it was our steakhouse. It was our steakhouse night. Yeah, we were not going to miss the steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. So everybody had to go home and shower and everything. So
he had another guy. Was it Eric Arnold who was there with him?
No, it was Tom, his friend Tom. That first time Tom's on his trip. Tom's first trip with us.
Okay. Tom had driven with him. And so now Tom has to stay behind at the golf course while Chris has to take an Uber to go to Enterprise to get another car. And Chris's wife, who is traveling with him but not playing golf, she's just like, screw this. She gets a ride with somebody else and goes back to the casino.
Right.
And Chris is, you know, doing all of this stuff to go back to get a second car. I can't imagine what your head would be exploding too, because I mean, you know, you got paid these exorbitant fees for losing a rental car.
Well, the crazy thing is the Enterprise wouldn't give him a car until they towed the other car to that place.
Oh, that's right.
And the tow truck.
So he had to pay for the towing to the back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, the tow truck was late. They kept saying it's going to be another hour. And then they're going, okay, it's almost six. We have to close. You have to Uber now to the airport and have the car towed to the airport.
Oh, and meanwhile, Tom is sitting at Ventana Canyon with the car.
With his phone on 1% in the dark, you know, on his first trip ever with us, the second day on it. And so
he'll come back. He just won't go with Chris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's so mad. But anyways, so Chris gets to the airport. The tow truck finally gets to around 8. Now, he's texting me saying, hey, cancel me for dinner. So I got to run down to the steakhouse and change tables because we had 5 tables of 4. So I got to change those around and move guys here and that and change times. So it's a pain to me, too. Well, he gets to the airport. The rental car finally gets there from the tow. Now they have to drive 45 minutes out to the golf course to pick up Tom.
Oh, my God.
And he finally picks him up like 9:30. We're at the steakhouse done, and Tom had a double burger from Wendy's on the way home because they get back at like 10:30, and I see him in the casino, and he's fuming, you know, which I get it. I felt so bad for him his first time. So fast forward the next day.
I see Chris the next morning, by the way, as I'm going out to my car, and I say, tough night? And he looks at me, he just shakes his head. He goes, you have no idea, man. It was the worst. So fast forward to the next day.
Yeah, Tom is with Chris that day. Just by luck, I had him paired that day in the same cart. Well, I tell him, I'm going to go in when Chris is on the putting green and steal the rental car keys for this new car. It's the mess.
You belong in jail.
That's the meanest thing ever.
What a great friend. Right? What
in jail.
What a great friend I am, right? Great friend.
I experienced it at Sand Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. All right. That's right.
So he's on the putting green. I go in there and I flip his little lid of his little golf bag and I take the keys right out of there. But I tell Tom, in case I saw his wallet in there, I said, okay, if he's going to order a beer or something, the car girl goes, I don't want him to freak out on hole 5 that his keys are gone, you know? So I told Tom, at least, I have his keys. So everybody knows, the word's going around to everybody that I took his keys. They're in my golf bag. We get back and finish, and Tom goes, he didn't say a thing yet. And he's taking his clubs off, and he's talking about how well he played and blah, blah, blah. And you guys are going to guess it. You're going to see it. We put all of our bags at the bag drop there. We had to walk out to our cars to get the cars to bring back to pick up the bags. And he reaches in his bag and pulls out a set of keys. It was the keys from yesterday's cars was sitting right in his bag.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And when
he had been adamant about, I don't ever put my car keys in that pouch in my bag. They are not in there. His wife had asked him multiple times to check his bag.
Oh, my God.
And he was they're not in there. I did not put them in there.
He never even went back and checked his bag?
No.
Apparently not.
Oh, my God.
That's what put a couple people over the edge. So anyways, he's walking to the car. I'm walking right behind him. I have another couple, Randy and Jackie, with me too. And I show him that I have his keys to his car. So he gets to the van and I unlock it. He thinks he's got the keys, but I unlock it. So he gets in it and then I pop the back trunk on it up on the van. So he gets out and slams the door and slams the trunk back. He gets back in, and now I unlock the sliding door on the side and let that roll out. And we're sitting there laughing like heck. He gets out and slams that. Then he gets in the car, and I lock him in there. So like 20, 30 seconds later, he opens the door, and the alarm's going, everything. He goes, my keys aren't working. This rental car's screwed up. And I just look at him. I go, you idiot. That's yesterday's keys. I have your keys right here. And he didn't even know what to think. He said, how did you get keys from Enterprise? Did you go there today? That's just what his head was thinking. He had no idea what he was thinking. And then it dawned on him, and you saw, you know, what he realized what happened to him. But so I immediately ran back to Tom and told him the story, and that did not put Tom in a good mood at all.
I was saying,
you're still alive.
Yeah, oh, he was so angry at him like that.
That's so brutal.
Hey, the moral of this story is all the great things we have said about going on a trip with Joe.
Yes.
Incredible.
Oh, no. Joe is the ultimate.
This is who Joe is in his heart. He is very prankster. He is Ken Kesey. He is everything you fear about somebody having some kind of control over your golf course.
Wouldn't you have turned your golf bag upside down? It's the first thing you're going to do, right?
100%. Oh, yeah. We had a friend that did the same thing that lost his. It wasn't a rental; it was just his own car. And he's like, "No. I checked every pocket. I checked everywhere in my bag." And we had another buddy who was like, "No, you didn't." And he took the whole bag and just dumped it upside down and dumped everything out of it. And sure enough, keys came falling out of that bag.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? I had one experience on my bag where there was a small zipper on the side and then the big zipper that goes all the way down. And I had put my money and my car keys in the small zipper. And I went and I played golf and I came back and then I opened that pocket to get them out and there was no money and no car keys. And I thought, I won't tell you where this was because it was a world famous golf place, resort pool. And I went in the pro shop and I said, I really hate to say this.
Oh, you went straight to accusing people, huh?
I just thought there's no other way because I remembered putting them in there. And I just thought, okay. So finally, long story short, I go back outside at some point and there had been a rip in the bottom of the small pocket. And the keys and my key and license and everything else had dropped through the bottom into the big pocket that runs up the length of the bag.
Wow.
And if I hadn't dumped my bag out, like Chris is saying, if I hadn't dumped it over because I couldn't believe it, I never would have found them.
And that's why you're never going to be invited back to Augusta National.
That's where it was. I had to say it. I was withholding the name to protect the innocent.
But I don't know. He won't tell us today how much it cost him, but he had to buy two Uber trips, a tow, and also paid for a key fob, you know?
Yeah.
Man. Did he win any money gambling?
No, he's a horrible gambler.
Oh, probably not.
I was thinking maybe he was the $2,000 guy. And he was
no.
All right.
He might be a great gambler, but he loses all the chips.
Yeah. They're in his golf bag, even though he says they're not.
The fact that he's going to be immortalized on this podcast is just going to be the greatest thing for all of Joe's buddies.
He could play this 20 years from now, and he's going to still be ashamed. Before we let you go, Joe, apparently I'm supposed to ask you about, you dealt with commercial flying your whole career. But apparently, there's some update that Darren wants me to get about some. You decided commercial flying is for, I don't know, pick a word. And you were going to take a private plane trip to Lajitas Golf Resort and Blackjack's Crossing, a Lanny Watkins course. So apparently, I need to get an update on a private plane trip.
Well, it's actually amazing. It's actually an airline that just started called Jet Express. And they fly out of Dallas Love exclusively, and they fly into little airports. Like they go to Phoenix, but they go to Scottsdale Airport. You know, they go to Vegas, but they go to the regional airport. So they avoid TSA. You avoid everything, really. It's crazy. You pulled up, and this wasn't my group. This was another guy set it up. There were 10 of us. And you just pull up to Dallas Love to their little private thing. You pop the trunk. They take your clubs out. You don't even put your clubs in a travel bag. They didn't even want you to put them in a travel bag. We put the little cap over for like the rain, you know, like a rain cover on it.
Yeah.
And they take it out of your trunk. They valet your car. You show them your ID. They give you a boarding pass. No assigned seating. There's 30 seats on this little Embraer airplane, one on each side, 15 rows. And we had 24 people on our flights. You know, the 10 of us that knew each other, then 14 other. And two of the guys brought their wives. So there were 22 golfers on this trip, on this plane. It goes straight to a little town named Lajitas, right on the border of Texas. We got out. Our bags were already in transit to the resort. We jumped on a shuttle. We got to the resort, and we had a tee time an hour and a half later. And there were 22 of us on the golf course. That was it from our group. Jeez. They shuttle you in from Dallas, and then what happened was our flight, after they dropped us off, they picked up a group that were there for 3 days that played that morning. And they flew them back to Dallas. So 22 of us played. There's no one driving up to play from anywhere around there. You know, they have a RV park that a couple people were at. But we were there for 3 days, played all 3 days. And then the Sunday, we flew back, and they had brought a group back before us in for their group of 24 to play for 3-4 days. So really amazing. But the plane flight was $1,200, you know, 600 each ways. But mm-hmm. the whole thing altogether was just around two grand, and the place is fantastic. The golf course was amazing.
$2,000 for what'd you say, 3 days of golf?
Yeah, three rounds.
How far a trip is it? Sorry, from Dallas to where you went?
Well, it's like 7 hours of drive, but it's an hour and a half plane flight. So it was up and down, and it's all you can eat and drink on the way down. It's like one of the guys is a big drinker. He had the poor young stewardess had to give him a bunch of beers and stuff. And his logic was, I'm saving you trips by ordering three each time. You know, so that's the kind of, it's a little different trip than my guy's trip. So it's, I had to get used to that a little. So,
that's great. That doesn't, you know, I know all of us know this. If you're flying now, I mean, everybody's talking about economy and this and that. If you're flying, I don't care what time of year it is or when it is, it's jammed and prices are high.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Period. Yep. So to me, that sounds, for the convenience of it, sounds unbelievable to get away for 3 days and have the whole thing inclusive.
Yeah, it's probably double commercial, but you know, like if you're going to Scottsdale and they fly into Scottsdale for double the price, and like you said, you show up a half hour before, you don't have to show up late. They handle your bags. And then the other cool thing, we landed on Sunday. And they said, just get off the plane, walk to your cars. They're all parked out there with the trunk open and the air conditioning running.
Man.
And they brought our bags right out to us in a big, you know, on a big little tractor, pulled it out there. But our bags and luggage were right there. Just threw them in the trunk and away you go. It was really cool.
So was the golf and lodging part was $2,000 and the flight was an additional $1,200?
No, it was like $2,100 altogether. So golf and lodging was just $900.
And so then meals were separate, obviously, while you were at the resort.
Right. They have, they have a Mexican restaurant. They have a pub. Then they have a pizza place and like a little bakery in the morning. Yeah, we had kolaches and breakfast burritos and stuff.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
You'll remember when we had Patrick on, Koenig, another golf photographer.
Extraordinaire.
Blackjack's Crossing was the golf course that he mentioned when we asked him for, you know, what was the thing you saw that you want everybody to know about on this most recent RGV tour. Right. That was the golf course he mentioned. And some of his photography of it just looks stunning. Yes. And Joe sent me some pictures that were not as good because Joe shot them, but it still looked really good.
I'm thinking of driving to Dallas Love right now, as a matter of fact.
It was really crazy. It's just in the middle of nowhere, just carved into the mountains. And I don't know how many millions they spent on cart paths, you know, because they were just, it's crazy. But they had a couple of things they told you to do, too. On 14, they told you to go all the way up to the top of the Black Tees, which are on this, the highest point of the place. And you can overlook and see like 12 of the holes, and you can see Mexico and all that stuff. And then on 15, you go to the Black Tees and you turn around and you hit it over to the Rio Grande into Mexico. It's like 200 yards. So we just fired away, you know, a couple drivers and three woods into Mexico, you know, across the river and stuff. So just something a little cool like that thing, you know, that you do. But the greens were fantastic, all tiered. And we had the course to ourselves. You know, we played two fivesomes, the 10 of us, and the other three foursomes, they have 20 minutes between tee times. And you don't see anybody, you know, you're done, you're gone, you know.
Right. Were there comfort stations out there? Like,
well, now they had on one that was for hole 2 and 10, they had a little, there was a lady in there that had food and stuff, but then they had, you know, like coolers, like every third hole that had a bunch of iced water on it and stuff like that, like little bathrooms and stuff. But I was extremely impressed. I told Darren it's in my top 10 played too, which is a lot from all the places you guys have taken me, you know.
Wow.
We have taken you a lot of places.
I have gone nowhere by myself. It's all because of you guys.
Speaking of taking him to a lot of places, Darren, you mentioned Gamble Sands in August.
Yep, that's what's coming next for Joe. Well, I don't know. Joe's going to fly somewhere crazy in between. I don't know. But we're taking basically me and Joe and six guys who were with us on the trip to Tucson are all going to Gamble Sands. They are flying in. I'm driving up. They're flying into Seattle. We're going to go play Salish Cliffs, and we're going to stay there in the casino property for the first two nights. Then we're going to go hit Chambers Bay in the morning, and then drive over to Gamble. And we're going to be at Gamble for 3 days. And hopefully we'll get a glimpse. It doesn't look like we're going to get to play, but we'll get a glimpse of the second golf course that's getting built and coming along. And yeah, that should be a pretty good trip, I would think.
God, what a lucky trip.
Should be a pretty good trip.
Chris, how are you feeling?
Just a bit envious.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't get an invite to Gamble Sands. Darren's never invited me to Gamble Sands, ever.
I'm going to invite you to Gamble Sands. And you and I will go by ourselves.
Chris,
you and me are going.
For the listeners, that's a throwback. Chris was invited to come to Gamble Sands, and instead he lied to me and went to Hawaii.
I have never, under the heading of first world problems.
Yeah,
this is what the picture is next to it.
That's right.
Here's another cool, interesting point about that is Darren always teases me. This is like my eighth trip of a lifetime. You know, you're supposed to have one, but I've we decided all six of us guys flying out of here, Dallas to Seattle. It's like a 4-hour flight. It was $125 to upgrade to first class. So we have the first three rows of first class, all six of us up there.
Oh my God. Nice. No one likes us right now. No one listening to this show likes us at all.
Off this podcast.
I had that just happen the other day when people were following me on the socials know that I had a kind of a fiasco trying to get out of Raleigh coming home from the Sandhills. And ended up costing me like an extra $700 to fly the next morning direct from Raleigh to LA as opposed to going through Dallas, because I know people like Joe and his buddies, you know, will get me stuck in Dallas every time. But I booked the nonstop for the extra money, but then like when I went to check in, it gave me the $125 option to upgrade to first class. And I was like, well, you know, I've already got this massive sunk cost of this flight. What's another $125 to be able to sit in the comfort of first class? So that's what I did. And it's absolutely perfect. I highly recommend that to anybody who can afford it. You should be flying first class whenever you possibly can.
And I'm going to call you every time I have that notion.
Although I will say, here's some interesting things real quick about that. Just for people that don't know or people who have flown first class. It appears that like on American, which is what I flew, it appears that no longer like alcohol is no longer included in your first class automatically. And the other thing I learned was if you want some control over what you're going to get for your meal, that you have to go on to the app and order or select what you want at least 24 hours ahead of the flight.
Yeah.
Those are two things I had no idea of, until just the other day. I was the other day years old when I found those out.
First class doesn't mean what it used to mean, period.
No, but the comfort and legroom alone is just...
Well, cross country, I think that's totally...
My ass is starting to not take it very well when I just fly regular
TMI.
I've never had an issue with legroom. Not a problem for me. You can put me in the overhead for all I care. I got plenty of room.
Rob, the image of putting Chris in the overhead is what I'm going to take away from this entire podcast right now.
I love that Chris will make that joke at his own expense. That's beautiful.
That's who he is. That's why we love him. This has been a blast. It's not nearly obviously as good as being with you guys. But being able to hang for a little while is up there. So thanks, Joe, for filling us in and for hanging with us for a while. Darren, Chris, I love all you guys. I miss all you guys.
Same way.
Same, man.
I can't wait to do it again. Hope you've enjoyed it. Obviously, the four of us just dream. We are dreamers. That's why we love each other. And we're making some of them come true. We hope you do, too. Talk to you soon. So long.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.